kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Anybody want some single-use cameras? I sure as fuck don't. All shit that I'm getting from my mom's house. Goddamn.
I didn't know they still made single-use cameras.
They don't!
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me as usual, CJ. CJ, how you doing?
I have shorter hair now. You can't see that anyway, so it doesn't matter.
I've never seen what you look like at all. All I've ever seen is your Xbox avatar. So I legitimately don't know what you look like with normal hair, shorter hair, whatever. But, I guess in the long run, you don't matter, because we have a guest joining us today.
I can't hold that up for too long.
Who is, if you're in our Mixer stream right now, you saw him bouncing along to a heavy on the side of the screen, replacing CJ. But Steve-O Bortz is back on the show. Steve-O, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing all right, all things considered. I'm glad I got to see you the other day in person. It was a wonderful lunch meeting, despite the fact that my phone died on the way. And when I say died, I don't mean the battery died. I mean the device is bricked.
Really?
The LG G4? No. It is dead. 100% dead. Stuck in a boot loop. Only boots up to the main OS if you stick it in the fucking freezer.
What the fuck did you do to it?
Oh, it's a hardware flaw. They know about it. When it overheats, some of the solder trace can become unhinged and cause it to just malfunction entirely.
Nice. That sounds like a quality.
Yeah, thanks, LG. Great design. But
so are they going to be replacing your phone then?
No, because I didn't buy this one from T-Mobile. I would have to go to LG's service center to have them do it. And since it's out of warranty now, because it's been 2 years... I don't fucking care anymore. I'm just going to use one of my backup phones. The copious amounts of Androids that I have somewhere around my house. But
all the burner phones? Yeah.
Exactly, because I'm Heisenberg.
Oh, God.
The CC's was totally worth it. I'm glad I got to spend...
Oh, my God, I needed that.
Yeah, me too. It was a great cheat meal. But yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy to be back here, actually.
I'm excited CC's, that you're
is
on...
That the...
CC's is
pizza buffet. Pizza.
Yep.
Yeah.
That place fucking sucks. I've been there once. I hated it.
So in the tier of shitty pizza, you've got the lowest of the low is Bowling Alley Pizza, and then you've got Little Caesars, and then
Little Caesars is fucking good. It's cheap as shit. It's good.
It depends on what you get from Little Caesars. The $5 hot and readys, they're like garbage tier pizzas, but they're $5. So
I like to call somebody who's a prostitute. Never call them a $5 hot and ready.
But the deep dish at Little Caesars is legitimately good. Like, legitimately awesome.
But the stuffed crust at CC's, I would say, is better. And the fact that they have the selection of buffalo chicken pizza and mac and cheese pizza and all the little garlic stuff they got.
Alfredo pizza.
Mm-hmm. And the desserts. Dessert pizza, fucking apple crumble pizza. It's not Shakey's. I've never been to a Shakey's, no pulse.
I think that's West Coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I know the Loot Interactive guys are always talking about Shakey's pizza and how bad it makes them shit all the time.
Because headquarters is in CA.
That is the high quality entertainment that we provide here on the SML Podcast.
Hey, there's a road trip for us. The closest Shakey's to us is right outside of Columbus, Alabama.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
Closer than LA.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to venture to Alabama, though.
Yeah, that sounds
good.
Like
luck getting back. Disaster.
Start eating your pizza and you hear dueling banjos. It's diarrhea pizza. That's not a good way to advertise your food.
I don't know. That's some pretty solid advertisement. It'll make you shit.
If you don't want to have Benedictsel and you have fiber problems.
Oh, man. So, Steve-O, welcome back to the show. I know this is your second appearance on here. Yep. For the people who don't know, Steve-O is one of the guests that I actually know in real life, which is pretty cool.
Oh, I mean, if you want to just admit that you and I are beard lovers, that's okay with me, man.
We both were fairly trimmed recently with our beards. Like, normally we could get them all bushy and scraggly and hobo-y, but we're looking kind of suave and human-like.
Yeah, except for this gargantuan gray patch I have going on here. My my transcendence from Steve-O the Black to Steve-O the Gray is starting a little ominously.
I just have like some grays peppered in here and there, but
yeah,
I don't have a single solid patch.
It would be great. I would be very happy to just have salt and pepper. But this is, oh shit, I dropped all the pepper. Oh shit, I just dropped a little bit of salt.
It almost kind of looks like, what is it, vitiligo? Mm-hmm. Is that what the skin disease is that like Michael Jackson had that just gives you patches? Vitiligo?
That's, do they have that for beards though? I didn't know that was an actual.
I mean,
we're getting very distracted already so much.
I know, the one comedian, John Henson, he used to be on that show Wipeout. He had it on like the side of his head. And his hair. He had like just a white patch of hair on the side of his head.
Not a damn clue.
Yeah. Good stuff. So, E3's over. We're finally rid of the E3 plague that has been hovering over this show, kind of like hogging out all the news and all that fun stuff. Steve-O, was there anything E3 that you were excited about?
The only thing that really excited me about E3, because I currently, the only like current or next gen console I have is a Nintendo Switch. I don't have a PlayStation 4. I don't have an Xbox One. I'm not planning on getting an Xbox One, Xbox X One X, which, and I said it on Facebook, but I'll say it again. Damn Microsoft for stealing my old AOL Instant Messenger name, Xbone X. I mean, Sony looked okay. Microsoft looked okay, but they, you know, both of them flubbed it a little bit. Nintendo sort of hit it out of the park. I've been waiting for them to announce a core Pokemon game for their home/portable console, and they said it was coming. No details beyond that. Pokken Tournament from the pre-release was very interesting. It's one of the few Wii U games that's really never gone down in price, despite not being the most popular thing on the system.
Now, there's a lot of Wii U games. They usually have the word Nintendo in the bottom corner. Those are the ones that rarely drop in price.
Right.
There's so many of them. They're still full price. It's nuts.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to getting Pokken Tournament on a system that's going to last a little bit longer than the Wii U. We hope.
When they announce Switch 2 next year at E3.
Well, I mean, honestly, I know they're going to do a redesign at some point. I'm probably going to hold off on getting a second Switch until then. But you know how you know the Switch is going to do well? Senran Kagura is going to come to it.
Nice.
Yeah. So obviously I'm looking forward to that. But the Mario Odyssey footage also looked fantastic. And then that, of course, announcing the Pokemon game was great. I'm not sure how I feel about Mario Rabbids, though.
See, through all the rumors and everything, I was so on the fence about Mario and Rabbids. I thought it has potential. It could be funny. And then I saw the gameplay and the reveal. I'm like, holy shit, this looks so much better than I ever could have imagined. I was legitimately
impressed.
Yeah,
I think it actually looks kind of cool.
Baby's
and I don't even give a shit about Nintendo. So that's just going to say something.
Yeah, baby's first XCOM. Got to do it.
But yeah, I mean, it's been great just seeing how Nintendo's actually taking this seriously, minus the whole we have no real production set up so that we can meet the demand for the system.
I know they said there's been reports coming out that they're like artificially having shortages again, and they're like, listen, we are ramping up production of the thing. I can't blame them too much for not going all in with production for the launch because of the Wii U and how it just flopped.
Well, the Wii U, they did shoot themselves in the foot, but I think that should be like a one-off specials where we talk about everything that went wrong with the Wii U. And then we can talk about everything that went wrong with the Vita.
God. I don't think a lot went wrong with the Vita, except the fact that Sony quit.
Oh, sure. You know, paying $70 for 16 gigabytes of memory was not a problem at all.
The memory sticks are hot garbage, too. But again, that's another Sony issue. But I think
but that's
the actual unit itself is fantastic.
No, I would agree. But, I mean, that is just the way it goes. So
true.
Yeah, I was very impressed with Nintendo from E3, and that was the only thing I was even remotely excited about looking at.
Anything that that you hated at E3?
The Xbox name? That is so dumb. Microsoft, did you fail first grade math? You start with just Xbox, and then you jump immediately to 360, and then you jump back to one because you realize that you didn't put a one on the first system, and then you add an X to it, which is why are you introducing Roman numerals to regular Romanized numerics?
Well, I don't think it's actually meant to be a Roman numeral at all.
I'm aware. I'm being facetious about it, but. Look at how much... Do you not learn... Microsoft, did you not learn anything from how Nintendo shot themselves in the foot with the naming schemes for their more recent systems? How the Wii U suffered from an identity crisis? The same thing with the 3DS for the first 2 years?
See, that would make sense if the Xbox One X was a new console generation. But it's not. The Wii U was. Wasn't just... a more powerful Wii. Well, kind of. But, you know, the Xbox One...
But it had its own game.
Yeah, the Xbox One got its name because it was intended to be the one unit for your home. For, you know, media, for gaming, for just every... streaming, for, you know, having the HDMI pass-through with your TV, the Kinect doing all the voice commands. It was intended to be the one living room unit. That's why they had the name Xbox One. And then with the X, I do agree that it could lead to confusion, but if they went with such a significantly different name, like if they kept it Project Scorpio or Xbox Scorpio, that would kind of give off the impression that it's a brand new console generation, when it's not supposed to be. There's a lot of confusion, like, will the games coming out this fall still work on my Xbox One? Yes, because it's still a fucking Xbox One. They are all Xbox One. It's just this one is more powerful than the S. Xbox One.
Here's a smarter way to do it if you're going to do it that way, even though Sony already sort of stole the whole Pro thing, which... The PlayStation 4 Pro, that is a smarter idea. It's not a new console generation. You're saying that this is a higher level of quality or performance. You know, that's what Pro is. Instead of doing X and S, which could be very relative things, go to have an Xbox One Alpha for the low end and an Xbox One Omega for the high end. You've got the beginning and the end. There. Perfect. Done. And you're introducing something that's going to teach people something they normally don't know. Oh, wow. Omega means something that's farther along. Oh. Ow, that hurt.
Good.
Yeah, but some people will be confused as, like, they'll think that that's the Alpha Xbox, like, is the most powerful.
That is also true, but you know what? You're already thinking leagues beyond people who would be buying this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm buying it, so, I mean, not really.
Are you really?
Yes, fucking buying it when it comes out. You're goddamn right I am.
Okay.
I am so excited.
We're Xbox fans. We want a more powerful Xbox. Exactly. Yeah,
like, didn't we go over this last time you were on that we are a heavily Xbox-leaning show?
I don't know. Can't you just buy a new graphics card for your Xbox?
No.
No. And no, we don't want to deal with all that hassle with PC either. I dealt with that for years.
I saw your little Master Race smirk over there.
It's not master race. It's that I like things that are compartmentalized. I was very much rooting for the Android module phone, the Project Aura. I like things that you can put together piecemeal, things that you can customize. So
then take the Xbox One apart and then put it back together.
Yeah, there you go.
To find out that it runs on a banana and a hamster wheel.
The original, I wouldn't be surprised.
My computer runs with a hamster wheel. He's getting old, too, so I need a new
original
hamster.
Xbox, you talking about that, I just, at my mom's house, I got the Xbox.
No, I meant the original Xbox One. See, there's the confusion as well. I
mean, yeah!
Yeah.
I will agree that there's some problems with the naming. Like, I don't like the X name as well, but I wish they would have kept the Xbox One Scorpio. Like, kept Scorpio, but put the one in it to make sure that there was no confusion.
I think the ideal name would have been Xbox One Elite.
That would have worked, too, because we had a 360 Elite as well.
But I guess they wanted, for naming purposes and the whole, you know, the power of X with, you know, direct Xbox and everything comes back to X with Xbox. You know, everyone abbreviates it XBO. So XBOX for the Xbox One X means Xbox.
From that's the only thing that redeemed the name for me is, like, when I saw somebody put that together, I was like, oh, actually, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, I'm like, the X is just going to cause a lot of confusion at Christmas when a mom is trying to decide which one they're going to buy. And it's like, well, this one's way cheaper, so let's just go with this. What's the difference anyway? The S and the X are too similar.
Now they just need an Xbox One E so they could have the
S,
the E, and the
X. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to do that.
Like, people haven't called it a sex box before.
I don't know. If you put a flashlight on it, does it do that?
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
No, no, where you detach that.
What are you doing
that
tonight? I'm gonna fuck my console. Wow.
Apps. Very apt. You should play Rez that way with the vibrating controller.
Dude, I would love to get a trans vibrator for Rez. That'd be amazing. I know Brendan Becker at one time, a couple years ago, had like four of them from all his MAGFest duties.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I would love to get a trans vibrator just to have and be like, do you know what this is? No, what the fuck is that thing? And for the people who aren't believing us, look it up. The game Rez, what was it? Was it the Dreamcast release or the PS2 release?
PS2 release. Dreamcast release did not have the peripheral.
For the PS2 release, in Japan, they released a vibrating add-on that is meant to allow you to feel the pulse of the music with the game, but clearly the female demographic used it for other means.
Now, you got me thinking of the most disappointing, like, E3 to release thing I ever experienced, and I would have to say it was Wii Music, because I was very excited to have an almost Rock Band-esque thing with my Nintendo controller, just being able to wag it around stupidly, and it was awful.
But dude, Ravi drums. And the crazy thing is, for as bad as that was, every time that I use the Switch with the Joy-Cons in my hands, or I'm playing PlayStation VR with the two Move controllers, I'll just put on a song and start air drumming with the controllers. Like, why isn't there some kind of drumming game for PSVR or for the Switch yet? Like, I just want to drum with my stupid controllers.
Okay, so I have to link this. I don't want to derail too much. Just watch this on your own time. This one particular YouTube, just called Why Miyamoto Why, it is my favorite, and it exhibits everything wrong with Wii Music.
Oh my lord! I'll have to check that out another time.
On your own time.
Good stuff. But since we're doing all this Xbox talk, we should probably cover some of the news of the week. And I think one of the biggest things going on right now is Xbox is having a massive ID at Xbox sale. And, like, good lord, the number of games on sale is ridiculous.
I'm being pestered to buy, what's it called? The Dead Rising 3 for the Steam sale.
Oh, yeah, because the Steam sale started today, too. So there's money savings everywhere. CJ, did you get anything from the Xbox sale yet?
Way too much. I spent like $65 and I still haven't bought everything I wanted.
Good Lord. What did you get so far?
Well, I mean, the main thing that really added up that price was I bought the Hitman Complete First Season. Because I've been wanting that for a while, and it was on a decent discount, down to $24. It's like, yeah, fuck it, why not? Get everything from the first season. I also bought a few good indie games like Guns, Gore, and Cannoli, which I'm really excited to play.
Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, that one looked pretty neat. I got level 22 for the easy completion, and it looked pretty neat. And I got Screen Cheat.
Is level 22 a prequel to you, Steve-O?
Probably. Also, Screen Cheat is a metric fuck ton of fun. It is ridiculously fun.
Yeah, I ended up picking that one as well.
I had a good balance.
I made a good balance
between like easy completions. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I picked it up for that. It's like, that's $4. That's not going to make any difference to me. But I had to make a choice between like, the things I didn't buy yet are the things that are like, they're just easy completions. I'm not sure if I'd even like them. I wanted to make sure that I got the games that I actually would have interest in before buying just the easies.
Well, for the people listening, the sale's going on probably until Monday night. There are dozens of indies on sale. I know I personally picked up Screen Cheat. I picked up the Tightwad edition of iDarb because it includes the DLC, and it's cheaper than just buying the DLC. I did the same with the Outlast bundle, which had the Whistleblower in the first game, because getting that was cheaper than just getting the Whistleblower DLC. So,
which makes sense, because they didn't put that on sale, but they put the bundle on sale.
Yeah, and then the last thing that I got was Toto Temple Deluxe, because I owned literally everything else in the sale.
I picked up Fortified. I'm like, eventually I need to play that. I've watched a lot of people play it, and it looks like a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is so good. You need to have friends to play it with, though. Like, Fortified is not something you want a single player. Steve-O, have you heard of Fortified?
Yeah.
Not heard of it, no.
It's like an online four-player third-person shooter / tower defense with aliens.
Interesting.
Sounds a lot like Iron Brigade, but it's not.
It's really cool. I know No Pulse was asking if we had any kind of recommendations to go through in the sale. CJ, did you pull up the list that I passed your way?
Oh, no, I have the list from TA up, because I just use them for everything. So also, the Turing test is on a massive discount. I've never seen it that cheap before. So.
How much is that one?
$6.
Oh, wow.
That game's like normally 30, so it's like, yeah.
Good Lord. So what kind of recommendations do you have from the sale?
I was surprised at the amount of games in here that I haven't actually played. Like, a lot of the ones that have been on sale are games that I didn't review in the past, so it makes it a little harder. I mean, if you didn't pick up iDarb when it was a game with gold, you should just get the Tightwad edition.
Yeah.
Besides that, it's like, you should go first, and I'll look through the list and make sure... Oh, Her Majesty Spiffing. For the love of God, buy that game. It's it's so much cheaper now. It's like, at the price it launched, which was like $18.50, it's like, it was a little bit iffy on if you should buy it, just because of how short it is. It's only like 3 hours. But at $6.10, that's worth it. Like, that is a really good game. And LetterQuest Grimm's Journey, which is only $2.50, that lasts you like 20 hours.
I love that's a lot of fun. LetterQuest, too.
That was the first game I won from the show before I was a part of it. I fucking loved that game.
What are you giggling at, Steve-O?
I was scrolling through, and I'm looking at games that you guys are recommending, but I'm also browsing through the Steam sale at the same time. And my number one recommended thing on Steam sale is Elisa the Innkeeper prequel. Recommended because you played games tagged with sexual content, anime, free-to-play, and nudity. Thanks, Steam.
Oh, I think you only have yourself to blame there, really.
Yeah, probably.
Oh man. So I'm gonna go down the list here and see what kind of good stuff is on the sale. Should I look for stuff that's just straight up buy it, or like fuck it, why nots, because they're cheap enough?
Both.
I think just the, I would say just the buy it's just to like get the highlights of the sales out of the way. Because, like, show like the best of the best that are on sale.
Because I really enjoyed Amazing Princess Sarah, and that's only $214, so I think that's pretty worthwhile. Bit Dungeon Plus is down to $231. I enjoyed that, although the one game I played of it, it, because it's all random generated dungeons, it like spawned me in a room without an exit, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
Let's see here. Just going down the list. Cell Damage HD for $270. Cluster Puck 99 is only $1.50. Dad Beat Dads is 90 cents.
Yeah, you better believe I grabbed that for the easy completion.
90 cents. You like, you can't pass up a 90 cent game.
Exactly. It's hard to do that.
You hit the nail
on Steam
the head.
You can, because they'll all, no, they'll all,
no,
go up,
I couldn't,
to
20 pass
bucks
up buying what the fuck was it, Sneak King for 90 cents.
Dude, Sneak King is the yeah shit. I loved Sneak King.
Like, how did I know you were going to say that? How
did I know? It was a solid game for what it was, especially what were they, like $5 at Burger King when they came out?
Yeah, but I got it at GameStop for like a dollar, so
it's, I thought it was a legitimately decent game. Let's see, Exile's End is $3. I thought that one was pretty solid. CJ already mentioned Fortified for $5. Gunsgore and Cannoli for $3.30 is, I think, a must own at that cheap.
Yeah, that game is fucking awesome. I'm so excited.
Dad Beat Dads is couch co-op. Yes, it is. It is local only, but for 90 cents, I'm sure you'll have a friend come over within the next 4 years that it's worth,
yeah,
dropping
exactly
the 90 cents on.
And it's pretty low chance that it'd be Games with Gold. They haven't done a game below $10 in a long time.
Yeah. So they've been pretty decent with that. Hunter's Legacy, I thought, was a pretty decent Metroidvania style game for only $2.10. Jotun Valhalla Edition for $5 is pretty good. Letter Quest, you already mentioned. Level 22, you already mentioned. Level 99 is on the stream with us. That's Steve-O's remixer name.
Yeah, which I barely use that as a handle anymore. I tend to update my handles now, on, like, at least on my Steam name or whatever, just based on one of the funny things we read during the week. Like, for example, my name this week is Sir Unicoctopus of Bum Diddles.
What?
That's a thing.
Sir,
there's no response to it, I know.
Unicoctopus?
Sir Unicoctopus of Bum Diddles.
I want you to send that to me, because that's going to be the name of this episode.
That's also the name of the episode for my next show.
Then mine. When does your episode come out?
It's going to come out next Friday.
Okay, then mine will be part one. Yours could be part two.
I will send that to you for sure.
That's pretty funny.
Oh man, Ninja Pizza Girl 250 is really good.
Yeah, that game was really good. I forgot about that one.
I think Organic Panic for $250 is worth checking out. Paranautical Activity, were you into that one?
I did play it a lot on PC and I really liked it. I thought it was a really solid game.
So there's that one. Polychromatic is 99 cents. Again, you can't go wrong with shit that cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, if you did miss Numa Breath of Life, well, it was a game with gold. It's on a decent sale right now. Like, $6.60 is better than you'll probably get it anytime in the future.
True.
At least for a long time.
But Polychromatic, I thought, was a pretty solid, God, I forgot the name, Geometry Wars style game. And for $1?
Yeah.
God, I forgot Geometry Wars was even a thing.
Quest of Dungeons.
There were three of them, and then the company folded.
Yeah, Bizarre. I miss Bizarre. And they didn't even do the third one. The third one was done by someone completely different.
Really?
Yeah. I'm surprised how good it was for being a different company. Like, at least that was one of the series that weren't ruined by another company coming in.
True. Quest of Dungeons for $3. I still say Quest of Dungeons is one of my favorite games I've ever covered on this show. So absolutely get Quest of Dungeons if you didn't already buy it on our recommendation or win it from us, because we've done giveaways for that before. Rogue Legacy is $3.75, and goddamn, is that a good one. Saturday Morning RPG is $2.50. That's worth grabbing. I know a lot of people enjoyed Shred It, the little cartoony snowboarding game.
Yeah, I should pick that up, just because even if I don't enjoy it, it's a very easy completion, and it's worth $15.50 gamer score instead of just $1,000.
It's only $3, and I thought that one was pretty solid. Stories of Bethem, Full Moon, very much in the vein of like classic Legend of Zelda style games, only $2.64, so got to recommend that one. Super Gun World 2 at $2.40 is worth grabbing. Oh, what the hell else is here? There's so many fucking games on sale. Talent Not Included, $3.75. The Sun and the Moon, $2.31. The Turing Test you mentioned is $6.
Ooh, God. I see one that you're going to name.
Oh, let me guess. Vertical Drop Heroes for $2.65.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was thinking.
Vertical Drop
Heroes. You loved that game.
That game was amazing. Oh, there's so much good stuff on sale. And a shout-out to Wolfboy dropping into the chat. How are you doing today, Wolfboy?
Wolfboy! Thanks for coming, buddy! Wolfboy is an FNF regular.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Look at you bringing your fans along.
I just told him, sah, dude.
Why?
Why? Because I knew it would tell you. Oh, The Fall's on sale for $2.50, but I that was cheaper before, wasn't it? Like, I think when they announced The Fall 2, they put it on a sale that was like only $2 instead of $2.50. Still, 50 cents, like, who cares?
True.
It's not much of a difference.
But, yeah.
Pick it up if you don't have it.
There is way too much good stuff on sale. So, buy it all.
And hopefully none of it goes into the fucking Game Pass next month, like in a month.
Dude, they're all going to be in Game Pass within like 3 weeks.
Imagine like the entire list. Like, so many people would be so fucking pissed off.
And then with sales, I know, Steve-O, you mentioned the Steam sale. What kind of good stuff is on Steam right now?
I'm looking at it right now. They got Mafia 3 is on sale, which I've a lot of people really liked Mafia 3. A couple of people very much didn't like it. Of course, Final Fantasy franchise is on sale, so you can buy the terrible version of Final Fantasy Type-0 HD if you want to. But like all three entries in Final Fantasy 13 are $10 or less. You get Final Fantasy 11. Who the hell plays Final Fantasy 11 anymore?
A lot of people. You'd be amazed.
Sure, I would be. For $15, the Final Fantasy X-X-2 HD Remaster, I would highly recommend it. 10 is one of the most solid entries in the franchise, wrong. In my humble opinion.
Wrong.
Why wrong?
Fucking hate 10. I think.
Can we not talk? I swear to God, we've talked about this like 20 times.
Probably. I have never been able to get into 10. I think it's some of the worst voice acting in the series, some of the worst writing in the series. There's very little.
No. You're getting Final Fantasy 8 confused with Final Fantasy 10.
I wasn't a huge fan of 8 either.
I think that more important than Final Fantasy is that Golf It is on sale.
What game?
Golf It.
Golf It.
Oh.
No. Like, Abzu and Transistor and Hyper Light Drifter being on sale is very, very important. Because
they're
those
all good.
They're all incredible.
I just bought Abzu recently physically for Xbox One.
Oh, very nice. Super Hot's on sale, which is the only time people say buy Super Hot.
Super.
It was in that that Humble Bundle monthly thing recently, too.
Super.
That's how I got it.
Super.
You having fun there, Joe?
Super Hot, it was actually announced that Super Hot's coming to PS4 soon, too. Both Super Hot and Super Hot VR.
Torment and Tides of Numenera, which if you're a fan of the original Torment, Planescape, which I very much am, highly recommended. Between Torment and Pillars of Eternity, we have our D&D Advanced-style isometric RPGs back. And, you know, couple that with the new Divinity games, it's ridiculously nice to be an old-school, brutalized D&D fan.
Yeah.
Also, games are so Left good. 4 Dead shit is down to $1.99. So if you somehow don't own that on Steam, you can get both Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 are both $1.99.
I know. I personally picked up Atari Vault for $3.39 because it was cheap enough that, you know, I like Atari, classic Atari. And then the complete Double Fine collection, or not complete, but like the Double Fine collection is 90% off. And between the 90% off and then the stuff I already had, it cost me $10 and I got Costume Quest, Stacking, Iron Brigade, Brutal Legend, Broken Age, Grim Fandango Remastered, Hack and Slash, Space Base, DF9, and then soundtracks for Grim Fandango, Broken Age, Massive Chalice, Brutal Legend, and both the soundtrack and the cinematic score for Psychonauts.
More importantly, Job Simulator is on sale.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that game was actually really fun to watch.
It's fun to watch and frustrating as hell to play. It's a lot like Surgeon Simulator. Fallout 4 is on sale, which I'm not a big fan of the Fallout series. Not gonna lie.
Neither am I.
Yeah, not my thing. The Paladins Founders Pack is on sale. We were just talking about Paladins.
Fuck yeah. I love Paladins.
It's such a good game.
It's so silly. And I think that's about it in terms of me giving firm recommendations. The Duke Nukem 3D World Tour 20th anniversary is on sale, but I would not recommend getting that, unfortunately.
Why?
Oh, shit. Because they did a much rougher job of it than the Megaton Edition, and for everything they added, they screwed something up. They added a whole new mission pack to it, but all of John St. John's new lines sound like ass. Like, it sounds like he's getting paid to read lines for an advertisement for Burger King or something.
He might be.
He very well might be, but it was not enjoyable to me. But Shadow Warrior 2 is on sale, down from $40 to $24, and that is one of the most fun cooperative first-person shooter-slasher games I have ever played.
Yeah. I gave it my Game of the Year for 2016. So
there you go. Somebody who's in my boat. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then I just reviewed the Xbox release, what, like 3 weeks ago, something like that?
Yeah, it was like last month.
Did you like it?
Man, I loved it. It's so fucking fun. It is insane. Awesome. Oh, man.
Meanwhile, I'm resting on my laurels, hoping for Honey Pop 2 to come out next year. All right.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I like puzzle games. What is wrong with that?
I don't know. Just a few moments ago, you mentioned how Steam is recommending games to you based on sexuality and nudity. So I think we know what you really like.
I'm a fan of fan service. It doesn't necessarily mean that's the only thing I'm looking for, but it helps.
Sure. Since we mentioned Paladins, and earlier before the show started, we were talking about Overwatch. The news came out that the game Gigantic from the team at Motiga, and if you're not familiar with Motiga, they were on our show way back on episode 118.
Ooh.
August 2015. How far back is that? The game is
almost
finally,
2 years.
The game is finally hitting full release on July 20th for Xbox One, Windows 10, and Steam. There is a Founders Pack available to buy right now for $39.99 that is going to include all 18 of the launch heroes, 4 future heroes, some skins and shit like that. And at least on Xbox, I know it is on sale for the next couple of days for $29.99. So I'm excited that game's finally coming.
The last bit of the Steam stuff, Brief Karate Foolish is on sale, which is a great free-to-play game. Because it's on sale as free. Dark Souls 2 and Dark Souls 3 are on sale, and Face Rig is on sale. So if you want to join in a Skype call and want to be a magical talking burger, you should get Face Rig. It's worth it. All right, I'm done. I'm done with that.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, man. I should go over the rest of the news for the week that I have here.
Yeah.
We mentioned that Super Hot is finally going to be hitting the PlayStation 4. Another game finally hitting PlayStation. City Skylines is going to launch on August 15th on PS4.
Woo!
So, PlayStation 4 gamers could finally dive into the City Skylines fun. Xbox fans, there's still some news for you guys as well. The game just got a physical release this week at GameStop. So if you're looking for a disc of the game, go to GameStop. You could get it there.
Nice.
Indeed.
For us physical collectors, that should be interesting.
Very true. Speaking of physical stuff, Steve-O, did you see the Metroid Samus Returns special edition in the U.S.?
I didn't see the special edition.
It comes with the soundtrack disc. Pretty cool. Oh,
well, that is cool.
Pretty cool,
that,
huh?
That I may do.
Now, did you hear what Europe is getting?
What is Europe getting?
Nintendo of Europe is once again embarrassing the shit out of Nintendo of America with the Samus Returns Legacy Edition, because they are also getting a soundtrack disc and a 40-page art book.
Oh.
And a S, like the Samus S logo, the Screw Attack logo, a pin of that, a Morph Ball keychain, a digital download of the original Metroid 2, and a steelbook stylized like the Metroid 2 Game Boy cartridge. And America's getting a soundtrack. So, Nintendo of America, go fuck yourselves.
Sounds like you got to do some importing.
The worst part is that 3DS games are still region locked.
Oof, so you're going to have to buy both versions and just have one as a collection.
I might have to, yes, because I want that steelbook. Jesus, it looks so good. Oh, man, it is such a beautiful steelbook. It looks so good. I want that so bad.
Just print a picture of it and then put it on your shelf.
Print out a picture of a steelbook. Yeah, that'll work well.
Put it on another steelbook that you have that you don't really care about.
What else here? Some fun stuff for Chris, even though he's not here. The Necromancer pack for Diablo 3 is releasing next week on the 27th. So,
that I'm looking forward to.
I know Chris is losing his mind about it. I asked him if he'd be interested in reviewing something, and he was like, I'm going to be honest with you. The Diablo stuff is coming out next week, and I'm not going to do anything except for that. I'm like, yeah, I kind of expected that.
Which isn't
that.
Surprising.
So, they're asking in the chat to see the Metroid edition. So there's a picture of it on the screen right now. If you're in the Mixer stream, if not, and you're just listening to the audio of this, you have no idea what's going on.
Unless you used that as a picture for the actual show.
I could. And just like a sad face.
Or it could just be that bouncing, the bouncing TF2 man, but it's frozen because you can't do GIFs.
Yeah. That Legacy Edition looks so good. Look at that steelbook. That looks so good. I need that in my life.
You need a lot of things in your life.
I do. I really do.
You have me in your life. You got plenty.
But in addition to the Necromancer stuff, it's going to cost $15, and it's going to include an in-game pet, some cosmetic wings, character slots, just a bunch of stuff. So, in addition to that being good news for Chris, NBC is getting into the esports scene. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my God.
But tell us anyway.
You heard of news that I'm going to talk about?
I've heard of a lot of news that you're going to talk about, except that Diablo stuff, because I don't care. Really, I don't own Diablo. I shouldn't say I don't care, because I think I'd actually enjoy it if I had it.
NBC is teaming up with Psyonix to host a 2v2 Rocket League tournament with a $100,000 prize pool. The grand finals with the top 16 teams are going to air live on NBC Sports Network August 26th and 27th.
Which is pretty damn cool for esports.
Yeah.
I mean, so, even if I don't get into watching it, it's like, that's pretty cool that they're actually getting that big, that they can be on an actual network.
Yeah, I told Chris that I found his calling. He could quit his band and then just play 2v2 Rocket League in tournaments.
You could just become a commentator on it.
Dude, that must be hard to do. Did you fucking see that fucking shot, man? Holy shit, man.
What a flippy do in the air.
Mr. Huber, we are on NBC Sports right now. You can't use language like that. Dude, fucking,
fuck that.
Did you fucking see that shit? It's insane, man. Just like, holy shit, man. So, and then the last bit of news I have is that it looks like the IO Interactive Hitman saga is officially over, as IO is now an independent developer and they absolutely 100% own the Hitman franchise.
There we go. So,
which is nice, because that actually goes into my news that I was going to bring up if you asked.
Why? What was your news?
Elusive Target number 25 goes live tomorrow on Hitman.
Cool.
He is the fugitive, and it's going to be in the Hokkaido, whatever, however you pronounce it.
I don't know.
I think I was actually,
yes, the
Hakuna I think I was actually Matata. Close the first time. But yeah, that's going live tomorrow.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful...
Yep. This is what I do to people.
Hokkaido. That's how you say
it. Hey, it means no worries.
For the rest of your days.
And you have 10 days to kill that target, and if you fail once, you can't go back. Because that's how elusive targets work.
Yeah. That's why I have a hard time bringing up stuff like that on the show, because it is so time-limited. But I guess since we're talking about sales that last 4 more days or something.
And it is 10 days, so people do have time. True. If they hear it on the show. 10 days from tomorrow, and the show will probably be uploaded, what, tomorrow? So
yeah, I can't wait for someone to listen to this in like 2 weeks and then realize the first half of the show means nothing to them. Because of Steam gonna be sales and the Xbox sale and all that other fun stuff. But
listen to all the stuff you could have gotten but can't anymore.
Well, maybe you should listen to our show when it releases, you stupid assholes.
Oh, that's a great thing, calling your listener base stupid assholes.
I was going to say, we apologize, dude.
No, it's only the people who didn't listen to the show on time. They're the stupid assholes. The people listening to it on time, we like you. You're good peoples.
I'm just like, I don't know if I want to comment.
Why? Because you're a stupid asshole?
No, because it means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's a problem-free philosophy. No, we still have plenty more to do. But do you guys have any news that you want to talk about? Or are you guys interested?
I'm good. I'm ready to go on to the review.
Giving some shit away first.
Damn it. You guys, I need to go get myself some calories now. You do your giveaway. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Jesus Christ.
It's going to take longer than 2 minutes.
Probably. Well, we have a handful of codes for the game Plutobi, the Dwarf Planet Tales to give away on Xbox One. And we went onto the Twitter sphere and we asked you to send us some kind of fun space-related fact. And our favorites are in the running to win a copy of the game. And
I'm glad Eternal's not here for this.
And as it stands, we have just enough codes to match all the entries.
Oh, wow. So everybody's getting a code.
Yes. We have 5 entries to go over, and everybody's getting a code. Unless, like, 2 more emails show up in the next minute. But the first email is from Robert M., who says, "Hi-ho, thank you so much for all your giveaways and awesome podcasts like Rock Band and so. My space fact? Never change the winning team. The rebellion goes on. Star Wars forever. A good weekend for you." So... Robert, you are getting a copy of Plutobi because you emailed us. Next up is from BX Latino Heat Representing. That's the name that he's using. First name,
probably
because
of all the confusion.
Maybe
because we thought he was what was the other guy's
Latin
name
ruler.
On there?
Latin
yeah,
ruler.
We thought he was Latin ruler.
But we actually had like the real Latino Heat. emailed and said, good evening to SML Podcast. This game, Plutobi, caught my interest, first because of its weird gameplay style and the unique name, given numerous cool things about the game caught my eye. First and foremost, representing the planet Pluto, Plutobi being the nickname given, was one cool fact. Another cool space fact is that the planet Uranus is the coldest planet in the solar system. And one crazy cool fact is that the planet Neptune orbits the sun once every 165 years. With all this astonishing cool facts, if given the opportunity to become this character called Plutobi, I'd be able to know what it is to be a planet and dominate the galaxy. Thanks so much for the opportunity. If I win, I promise I'll dominate the galaxy. Well, Latino Heat, you're going to dominate the galaxy because you emailed us. Sounds
nice.
Good, huh?
Nice.
I'm gonna save that one for last, actually. next
a really good one.
I don't know because it's from Aroto. So I'm just going to assume that it's amazing. But next email is from Lyndon Lukage. I hope I'm saying that right. Who says, on Venus, a day is longer than a year. A year on Venus is 224.7 Earth days. However, it takes 243 Earth days to rotate on its axis just once. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
See, we're learning shit. We are learning shit.
Yeah, I won't remember any of this, though.
Next up is from Crumb Donut, who says, did you know Saturn has a hexagon-shaped storm at its north pole that is as wide as two planet Earths?
Sounds pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. And actually sent a picture of it. And because I've been doing so much stuff with video this time, I'll just show the picture of it. So if you're watching the stream, you can see a picture of the crazy-ass hexagon-shaped storm going on.
I'm starting to wonder if you should just upload the VOD of this from the site.
Too lazy. But yeah, final email then. Well, Crumb Donut, you're getting a copy of the game. But final email is from Aroto Tomato, who says, on a more family man style of email, here's a little trivia about space that's pretty cool. Tacoma is almost here. In the game, you play as a person, and she goes to a space station to play detective, looking at the pre-recorded daily lives of the crew and tries to figure out what happened and why it looks deserted. In the first 10 minutes, you learn the crew was ready to head home after a year in the space station, and during a celebration, something goes wrong, and their AI helper says some tech is failing. The air is depleting by the minute, and communication outside the station is impossible. The player is going to see the following events and how these people dealt with the bad news. Lots of room for cool and very well written human behavior towards impending doom. Hopefully another good-ass written game by the folks who already provided they got the mojo with Gone Home and Minerva's Den. So,
I'm glad that that was an entry for Plutobi.
So yeah, congrats to everybody who sent us an email, because you're all getting a copy of the game.
And so I expect that number on TA from 3 tracked gamers to jump up to 8.
You just got to earn some achievements to be tracked.
So all you got, well, and you got to sign up for the site. So if you don't actually have a page, which I assume a lot of us do, actually.
Probably. And one more thank you to Zionist Games for hooking us up with a number of copies for the game. And
Speaking of Zionists, Dreamworlds is on sale, and that was actually really good. I did really like that game a lot.
See, there's too much stuff on sale. Way too much. But
we should all just go in and like own a business together. I don't know what we would do, but we need money. Joe, you got a pretty good body. How do you feel about selling?
Oh God,
it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, everybody's gonna want that.
You want this milkshake? Got to come to my yard. And now that
I didn't know what he would do, but I'm glad he did it.
And now that Steve-O is eating, we're gonna jump to the reviews.
It's just jerky. I'm almost done.
I know you like jerky on my show. I want some. I'm hungry. So we only have a handful of games to talk about today. We're going to save a bunch for the weekend, but we are going to kick things off with Steve-O. You say the name so I don't fuck it up.
Hold on.
I know the Valkyrie Drive part. I could get that part just fine. But then it's Bikuni?
Bikuni.
Oh my god, I was close.
Yeah. nearly got it. Valkyrie Drive Bikuni, which is a game entry and an overall series from what is the guy's name? Give me a moment. I gotta find this now.
Okay, I'll do the spiel.
That's enough time for him to do his thing, yeah.
Valkyrie Drive Bikuni, developed by Meteorize and Honey Paradise Games, published by Marvelous, released June 20th on Steam for $29.99, or there is a combined edition with all of the DLC included for $39.99. A mystery virus known as the...
VR virus.
I wonder why that didn't copy over, or if Steam had it wrong. Infects young women, transforming them into weapons known as X-Stars, or those that control them, Liberators. However, the voluptuous Valkyries are infected with a unique strain, allowing them to take on either role at will. Proving incredibly difficult to cure, they are sent for quarantine to the sun-soaked island of Bikuni, where a treatment is put into place. The Valkyries engage in combat against one another to strengthen both mind and body and allow them greater control of the virus. Who runs the island? What is the secret of the virus? Will you choose order or chaos? Steve-O, what did you choose?
I chose a number 5, the double baconator, and large fries... and a frosty. So Valkyrie Drive Bikuni is part of an overall multimedia franchise where there's an anime and a video game, and I'm looking here to see what else there is supposed to be. There's an iOS and Android version of the game, but I don't think it's come out for the United States. But I know they're gonna be if they haven't already, been localizing the anime and. Valkyrie Drive Bikuni came out on the PlayStation Vita last year. I own it for the Vita, but I did not get very far, which is why this review is mostly untainted by that. The game is made by Senran Kagura creator Kenichiro Takaki, so there is a lot in common with the series beyond just being focused on some extremely physically fit, well-equipped with good assets young ladies who are fighting each other.
So again, we're going back to that games with sexuality and nudity.
It really does. It runs on the same freaking engine as the Senran Kagura series. In fact, if you look at the ports of Estival Versus and Shinobi Versus, some of the menus look almost identical, which is fine. If you've got good technology, work with it. But its roots, where it ties in with the series, the creator's just lineage, it's pretty obvious. And, of course, the audience that it's playing to, they know what they're going to get into. The major difference for me, and I'll get into the actual details of the game because I've been dying to do this ever since I started playing it. I've been wanting to give critical critiquing. I wanted to give it something positive or negative, but I was barred from doing so.
Yay, embargoes.
The, forgot what the hell I was going to say. Damn it. I got
great
so excited
job
about it.
I've been waiting to do
this.
I got
so excited about it, and I blew my load. GG, Steve-O.
Proud of you. So proud.
So, no, I remember. The difference between the Senran Kagura series and this, they're both published by Marvelous. Senran Kagura is translated and localized by XSEED Games. This was localized by P-Cube, if I remember correctly. And there is a very large difference in how XSEED and P-Cube have gone about this. XSEED is very in-depth, tongue-in-cheek, where they've done their best to translate over all of the contextual comedy for the English audience by tying it in with things that we would find relevant. P-Cube has gone a different route. It made it a little bit more serious. There's still a lot of tongue-in-cheek, eroge kind of humor, but they haven't built up the same kind of characterization the same way Sanran Kagura did with its characters and its story. So it's good, it's engaging, and a lot of it compares to... It's lots of pluses and minuses. I would say it's sort of on the same level. Sanran Kagura is more enjoyable for its story. Valkyrie Drive Bakuni is more enjoyable for its gameplay. It's a much more refined experience than even Estival Versus was. The engine has seen a lot of improvements. The visuals are gorgeous, and the port from the Vita looks great. Absolutely stunning for the system requirements that it runs on. All of the characters are well thoroughly fleshed out. The enemy is not so much, but in a game like this, you know, do you really need to have well-defined enemies besides bosses in a game that's like Dynasty Warriors? Probably not. But you're just beating up tons and tons of people. The game is great at introducing all these new battle mechanics as you continue going through the chapters. And you learn more and more about the girls. You start unraveling the secrets of the island. And no spoilers from me. Even for doing the review stuff, I didn't get past Chapter 8 in the game. So no spoilers for anyone. They've got their dressing room mechanic in there, so you unlock clothing by either doing the raffle or getting it as a bonus in levels. You can totally be a perverted old man about it if you want, or you can play Barbie to your heart's content. There's a romancing mechanic where you have to communicate with other characters in between levels in order to increase your compatibility with them. And the higher the compatibility, the easier it is to work with them in levels. You always have a partner with battles. The VR virus is unique, and there's some story stuff, they explain it better in there. But the bottom line is, there's the V virus and the A virus. V-virus means people can transform into weapons. The A-virus means people can wield those transformed weapons. And the VR-virus means you can do both, so you can sort of mix and match. You have a character who acts as an X-Tar and a character who acts as a Liberator. One of them is the weapon, the other one's the wielder. The better the compatibility, the more stuff you can do as a team. And you can unlock, you know, advanced techniques and more combos and everything. So it's got its RPG elements in there. Of course, there's transformation sequences that have lots and lots of no clothes. And
shocking.
Yeah, I know, right? You knock the clothes off of enemies as you do more damage to them. It's a fun game. It's a very enjoyable fighting experience.
Good for all ages.
yeah, I would play this game if I was 9 years old and horny. The story is a little long-winded in between sequences. You can feel like it really drags on because of there's a lack of pop and sizzle when it comes to the dialogue. But it's still engaging enough, and the combat has definitely kept me coming back. The music is great. Actually, I don't know if it's the same composers. It's a similar vein of J-Rock. But overall, I would say it's still... Who am I telling this about? Is it somebody who has shame? Or is it somebody who just...
You can cover both of them, I guess.
Okay. If you don't have shame, buy it. If you do have shame, try it. Or watch a video of it.
Alone in your room when it's dark.
Mom, get out of here!
Mom, I'm playing a game.
I was like that once. Wait, Mom, you were a young, sexy Japanese ninja? Yeah. I tried to keep it less long-winded than last time's review, but the porting jobs keep getting better and better in terms of the technology and how smooth the actual game is, how stable it is to run. Loading screens were super fast. I played it on my laptop, and it ran just as good as it did on the desktop. It was beautiful. Very, very fun to play fighting-wise. The drawbacks are just the stuff that I think P-Cube did. And I very much hope in the future that if P-Cube does the translation again, that they loosen up a little bit when it comes to the verbiage Otherwise, definitely worth it. I didn't get a chance to play any of the multiplayer. That was one of the things that was absent. I didn't get a chance to try that.
What kind of differences were there between the this version and the Vita version? Anything like super significant? Clearly, it's going to look better and run better. Content-wise, any kind of massive changes? Or
no, I don't think so. I think like DLC in tow, and they've been doing that a lot. Any DLC that gets released on the Vita gets included either in bundle packs or within the game itself when you buy it.
Yeah, I know they have the combined edition that's $10 more. What kind of DLC is there, and is it worth getting the $40 version over the $30?
Well, let me see what the DLC pack includes. This one included
I have no idea which version of the game we got for you to check out.
Got the regular. I would have to buy the DLC pack in order to do it. It's two extra characters. From Valkyrie Drive Mermaid, which is the anime, and then 150 new items for the dressing room. So if you're a player of The Sims and you like to dress up your characters, or if you want to have two extra characters to play with, I don't believe that it's extra story. It's just two extra characters to play once you've beaten a level, and then extra things to dress up. Hey, $15 isn't bad for that much extra material. The nickel and diming for Estival and Shinobi Versus was way worse than that when it was on the Vita.
Yeah. And if you didn't buy the game yet, it's only $10 difference instead of $15. So you save even more. The savings are out the anime wazoo.
Yep. And right now it's 10% off. Because it's on its first week of sale, so it's only $36.
There you go. Sounds good.
Oh, I would say, if you're a fan of these kinds of games, if you like hack and slash, if you enjoy the Senran on Kagura series, buy it. Just flat out buy it. Any of the story flaws you can overlook with how much good content they have otherwise. If you're not new to it, just try it. Have a friend who has it. He'll let you play it a little bit.
If they already own the Vita version, is this still something worth picking up?
Yes, absolutely. The reason why I didn't play far on the Vita version is because, as ambitious as they were, there was no way they were going to get that game to run smoothly at all on the Vita. Like, not at all. Actually, once I'm done talking about this, I kind of want to go grab my Vita and see if I can load this up just to show you a difference. This one runs 60 FPS, buttery smooth, the combat is more satisfying because there's no hiccups going on whatsoever. That's a big, big deal for me when it comes to these kinds of games.
Cool. Cool, cool. Good stuff.
All right, I'm going to go grab my Vita. I will be back in a moment.
So you'll never guess what Beam just gave me.
What did Beam just give you?
It just alerted me that I now have the final station.
Oh, nice.
So I guess I did get my rewards for watching E3. It just took a long time.
The mix pot.
Yep. So I got the final station out of it, which I'm happy with.
Well, while Steve-O is out, I'll jump on to the next review. This one is called Jaipur, a card game of duels, developed by Sebastian Pauchon, published by Asmodee Digital. It released May 25th on iOS and Android at a launch price of $2.99. In this digital adaptation of the award-winning card game, find a comprehensive interactive tutorial and an extensive campaign mode. Solo play is available at 3 difficulty levels. Play online, two-player, cross-platform, or locally in pass-and-play mode. Track your achievements within the app and use your Asmodee digital account to sign on. Enjoy beautiful illustrations by Vincent Dutrait. This one was covered by our friend Jacob Garner, who emailed in his review, so I'm just going to read that. Jaipur is a is a strategic card game by Asmodee Digital and distributed by GameWorks, I think. I'm actually not quite sure, as there seems to be a lot of people and companies with their hands in this game, but holy crap, I don't feel like I've been this enthusiastic about a game I've reviewed since Mousebot. I hate strategy games, so I was a little wary when Joe showed me some YouTube videos for the game, but I wasn't getting anything new as of late, so what the hell? I love this game. It's a deceptively simple yet challenging game where you try to make the most profit from the cards you were dealt and the market of cards in front of you. I don't know what else to compare it to, as I haven't played a ton of board or card games in a while, but the companies involved with this game did make Settlers of Catan as well, so maybe that? I don't know. The game's tutorial walks you through the four different actions you can take during a turn and then lets you win or lose during the game's second round. The tutorial was helpful in explaining the rules of the game, which was great for someone like me who hears strategy without previously hearing run and gun and then gets disappointed. There's three levels of difficulty and a few different game modes, so there's plenty to keep you entertained with different variations of the game's rules. There's a campaign mode of sorts if you're interested, with a story about trying to become the best merchant in the land, traveling different regions of varying difficulty. If you're looking for online play, there's multiplayer, but there aren't a lot of people online yet, at least. I've never seen the game lobby empty, so that's a positive sign in my book. Anyway, you know me and how I view mobile games. Can you play this on the toilet or during a quick commute? The answer is absolutely, in all caps. And it makes me so happy that this game is easy to pick up, still manages to be challenging, and can still be finished under 10 minutes. The music is beautifully done, and I was pretty pleased with the art. They really took their time to make it a polished game, and it shows in nearly every area of the game. I'm giving Jaipur my full recommendation. It's a card game that will constantly challenge you, is a blast to play, and you'll keep coming back for more. So thank you, Jacob, for emailing that one in for us. And Steve-O's back. So
yes,
what's
up? I'm trying to get to a point in the game where I can actually show off some of the visuals. So let me see if I can actually see what this. There we go. So you can see it's running like 15 FPS right now.
Yeah, you'll have to narrate this because it's going to play poorly in audio form.
that is literally like it's a bit sluggish, and it's just it doesn't run well on the Vita, in my opinion. But it for me, being able to take it on the go has its own benefits. I just couldn't play it and enjoy it that way, though. Yes, there are some games you can do that with, and some games you can't. But the Galgun double piece release on the Vita was just abysmal. I wanted to like it so much, but it was so slow and unresponsive, and it was just not an enjoyable
experience. Well, maybe it'll come to Switch.
They are releasing Senran Kagura on the Switch. Maybe they'll bring Drive to it, too. Who knows?
Maybe.
But with that, I am actually going to bow out for the evening. Thank you very much for having me on, as usual.
Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Bortz.
Anytime. I look forward to talking to you the next time there's a booby game you want me to review.
You are our official titty master on SNL.
Also,
podcast.
If I leave, is it going to end the call?
I don't think so. It'll just be you leaving.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if it ends the call, I'm sorry.
Well, Steve-O, do you have any final words to say goodbye?
Number 5 with fries and the frosty. Also, Sir Unicoctopus of Bum Diddles. Later.
Such an amazing name. Oh, my lord. Fucking amazing. Sir,
I was really hoping it would end the call just for no reason.
Oh, man. So, anyway, next game to talk about is called Air Missions HIND, or Air Missions HIND. I'm not sure what they prefer.
Hind,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I know my Kinect recognized HIND, so that worked. Developed and published by 3 Division, it released June 14th on Xbox One for $16.99, previously available on Steam, which we'll get to. Air Missions HIND or HIND is action combat flight simulator based on the Russian MI-24. Hind Assault Helicopter or Hind Assault Helicopter. I don't know.
Love this.
It keeps coming up. It keeps coming up, and I don't know which way to go with it.
I'm pretty sure it's actually supposed to be pronounced Hind.
Hind. Maybe.
Yeah.
Also known as the Flying Tank. Equip the weapon of your choice, UPK-23 machine guns, GUV gun pads, FAB bombs, a variety of missiles.
Fab bombs.
Use those weapons to tear up the sky in single-player and multiplayer modes. CJ, what did you think of Air Missions?
Well, I mean, first I think I'll talk about what we actually played together, because it was a pretty interesting experience.
A shout out to 3Division for hooking each of us up with a copy to try out the online multiplayer. We did do some co-op and some deathmatch. I don't think I had as good an impression of the game as you. I know you put a lot more time into it. My biggest gripe, I know that they're, you know, the visuals weren't what we were expecting, but that's stuff I could overlook. My biggest issue is the complexity of the controls. It's just so hard to get into.
Yeah, and well, that's what I've been seeing a lot of, because I did decide to go look at what people were talking about on the Xbox store, and it's like, it was a lot of back and forth between the controls are great, it's just you have to get used to them, and the controls are really hard and they're awful.
Yeah.
And it's just, it depends on how you feel about them personally. But I'll say right away, the first thing you'll notice about the game is that it wasn't exactly the greatest porting job, because there's a mouse cursor in the top left corner.
Legitimately. Yeah, there is.
I thought that was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen in a porting job. The fact that the mouse cursor was still in the game.
Something else, like, I noticed that might be related to that is in the in the settings for where you can select, you know, if you want normal controls or like pilot control or whatever, they have control type. And it, you know, in the Xbox version of the game, all it does is show the gamepad controls. But I don't know if there's like other options in there, like if you might have a flight stick or if you are able to hook a mouse and keyboard up, or if that's just something left over from the Steam version that wasn't removed. I'm not sure.
I have no idea. This just seems so odd. It seems like it was a very easy and cheap porting. It didn't seem like they actually put a lot of effort into making it play like it was designed for the Xbox One. There's also small issues like in the co-op when we were playing. After every mission, we would have to disconnect and select the next mission, and then I'd have to re-invite you to start the next mission.
Yeah.
We couldn't just continue from each mission. We'd have to back out and do the whole process again.
And I still don't know if like something was being missed, because on my screen it kept saying waiting for host to restart the game. But
And on my screen, all I could do is cycle between me and your gamer cards or gamer tags, and it gave me the option to either disconnect or bring up your gamer card. And that's all I could do.
Weird.
So I think that was a legitimately an issue. But the co-op was actually somewhat fun to play. I noticed that the missions are actually in the co-op campaign. They're not all there. Like, there's a couple of missions in the regular campaign that aren't available in the co-op.
Yeah.
There's also some smaller things, like, I think they just removed any missions with landing in the co-op, it seems.
Maybe.
I mean, we only played the first few missions in the co-op, because after that, I'll be completely honest, Joe was not enjoying the game very much.
I was struggling at the time with the controls. My biggest thing was I was struggling with the controls. I know they had, the two big ones I was switching between were Novice and Casual. And Casual felt easier to control, but it was also significantly slower. But on Novice, it gave you more control.
Well, that's because you didn't... I figured something out about Casual, because I was using Casual as well.
Huh.
During the campaign, I guess I was on Novice for the actual multiplayer, because it did feel different. If you click in the left stick, you go much faster in Casual. So it works like a sprinting mechanic.
All right.
So you just weren't sprinting, and that's why you were going extremely slow. Because the tutorial teaches you it, if depending on which control setting you choose. So I went with casual for the controls, because that's what I thought I was on last night. It turns out I wasn't. I was on novice.
Remember and, how we started the game, and I asked if you wanted to, like, go into tutorials and figure out how to play it, and you're like, I'm already in online, so let's fucking do it.
Well, there's no tutorial for the co-op, so I was like, let's just start the fucking game so we can do this. We also played on some online mode, and I failed to see how any game will ever end ever, because it takes just ungodly long to be able to kill anybody, just with all the turning and trying to fucking aim another player that's also moving in an extreme speed. I just don't see how a game will ever end, and there's no timer.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that all of these online modes were added, because it is nice to be able to play it. I will say it's a little bit disappointing that the co-op campaign, because of it missing missions from the regular campaign, doesn't count towards the campaign at all. Like, you still have to replay the missions. And unlike co-op, where you can select any mission you want, in the campaign, you have to unlock each mission by beating the previous one.
Yeah.
So there was a few missions I had to repeat. But that's what made me discover that there are missions that were removed from the co-op, and that was that the third mission we had to do was the one in the city and such.
Yeah.
Where we had to deal with a lot of things, and that it ramped up the difficulty out of nowhere. Whereas there's actually a couple of missions in between that. And
that makes sense then.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, it turned the third mission in the campaign actually turns it into a terrorist takedown style. I don't know if you've ever heard of that game before.
No.
But where you actually go to the side inside the helicopter, and you're manning a machine gun, and the helicopter's actually flying by itself, and instead you're using the machine gun to gun down all the enemies.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a pretty neat little addition. It took forever, and because the machine gun doesn't do that much damage to vehicles, and there's like four vehicles that I had to take out, so I was just circling around for like 10 minutes. It's just like, this seems really unrealistic at this point. We'd probably leave by now. I do like that there actually feels like there's a slight difference in each of the helicopters. I mean, I've only actually used two, but the one that's the main helicopter, the Hind, feels a lot more heavy, and it takes a lot more effort to move it, whereas the one we liked using, which I think was just the Havoc or something like that, that one was a lot of fun to use, and it felt like it was much quicker. You unlock new weapons in the campaign by beating missions, and they're pretty neat. Although I just basically stick with the S5 rockets or whatever. I believe that's what they're called. Because those things are really powerful and take out pretty much anything you need. I will say the campaign was quite a bit more enjoyable than the co-op and multiplayer. And I feel like this game will really shine in the campaign versus anything else. So it probably won't have a lot of replayability, but there is a lot of missions that you can go into and do. As for the price, I'm not exactly I don't really feel like it's not worth it, but it's also, like, it could be lower.
Yeah.
And it's a weird price, of $16.99. It's like, why not just $14.99? Just do a normal price.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it.
Go ahead.
I'm guessing it's just a translation from a price, another area's price. Maybe the UK price is like maybe the UK price is like 15, so for us it's like 17 or something like that.
It might be. I know this is a tough one for me to recommend, but to review, because clearly I didn't put nearly as much time in as you did, because this was your review, not really mine.
Yeah.
But as much as I enjoy having people step outside of their comfort zones with some of the reviews we do on this show, I can appreciate what's there in the game despite the gripes that I have with it. Oh, shit. I just got a message from Norg. I'm going to have to take care of that soon. I lost my train of thought because of that.
I noticed.
Our friend Norg is going to be on a show next week, and he was going to do a review, but he apparently redeemed the code and it said it was already used, so I'm going to have to look into that. What the fuck was I saying?
I don't know, man.
I don't know where the hell I was. Oh my god.
You're talking about how it's just like you like people stepping out of their comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. I can appreciate different games and different styles, so I can understand the people who are into this genre would really enjoy it, but just the complexity of the controls in my eyes for someone new to this genre or someone new to the just this style of the game in general is going to be really, really tough for newcomers to get into, even with the casual controls.
And see, that's where I feel a little bit differently, because I would consider myself a very much a newcomer to the genre. I've never played a helicopter simulator before. And as far as simulation goes, if you turn it on to casual, it feels like a very light simulator. It feels more like just an action game that you can turn from like a vehicular combat FPS to third person, depending on which you prefer. I actually found that I thought it was easier to control the helicopter in first person. Except when it comes to landing, which, by the way, landing is a total bitch in this game. It's really difficult, just because it's like... There was, like, that one mission that I was talking about where you had to circle around for 10 minutes. Afterwards, you had to land and pick up soldiers to evac them. And I had to land, like, 10 times before it wouldn't blow up from the landing. And you do have to put on a landing gear, which I did know about, so it wasn't like I wasn't putting that down. It was just, like, the blades would start hitting stuff that wasn't there. And it would blow up. I don't know if maybe I just wasn't doing it correctly, but eventually it just landed perfectly fine the same way I'd been doing it every other time, and it worked. So it must have just been like a very, very specific location. But it did seem like that was a little bit weird and glitchy. There was also a couple of graphical, like, just weird glitches. Like, the road kept popping in and out on the mission with the convoy. And it's just like, that's a little weird. But other than that, I thought the graphics were actually pretty good in the game. I thought it looked nice. It's a little bit, it's a little dated, but then again, for an indie game, it's decent. So I guess I'll jump to my overall rating, and then you can give your rating if you want to.
I honestly didn't play enough to give it a rating, so this is all on you.
All right. Well, I think that between the issues with the port and how lazy it was and the higher price, I can't give this more than a try it. But I do think that if this game goes on sale at any point, maybe like 25 to 50% off, that it'd be worth picking up just to try it. This game isn't going to be for everybody, but if you want to try something new, this is definitely a good one to get into. It will take a little bit of getting used to, but I think if I can manage to do it and get used to the controls and actually have a good time, then pretty much anybody could, except Joe. So
It's very possible if I did the single player and I went through the official tutorials, I may have had an easier time with it. I may put more time into it later and try to give it a proper...
Oh, this is news to me as well. The Havoc helicopter that we were playing yesterday is actually DLC on Steam, even though the game costs the same price on both places. So you actually get the DLC included with the Xbox One purchase.
Oh, nice. That's neat. Always good.
So, I mean, that makes it a little bit more worth it, considering each helicopter is $3 on its own, so that's like $9 the DLC we get.
Yeah, again, my gripes with the game come down to the controls, and like you mentioned, just it feels like it was kind of a rush job. Like, clearly we're not developers, so we don't know what all went into it, but the fact that there's like a mouse cursor up in the corner of the screen, on the main menu, if you look down in the bottom left, you could see like copyright 2015. So like they didn't even update that part of the menu screen. And then I still don't know what the story is with the controls, where it lets you select a type, but I don't know if there's any other control options available on Xbox One, or if that's just something left over from the PC release.
And this game could definitely benefit from being able to move on to the next mission in co-op, if that's what you want to do, instead of having to back out, because that's gonna annoy people and drive them away. True. Having to do that every time.
Were you able to try out any more deathmatch after we played?
No, I didn't I didn't actually try to play any more of it. I wasn't really interested. The multiplayer mode is just like, yeah, I knew if I started a game, I wasn't going to be finishing a game today.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother playing anymore after we played.
I'm just curious to know how populated the online is, because before we played, I tried doing one quick and nothing would find. So I don't know if I was just searching at a bad time or if the online might be DOA. I don't know.
I wouldn't be too surprised. I mean, I can't imagine, even with most games, even with games that you would consider better, most of the time the online is dead pretty quickly or never gets populated at all except for very certain times, just because it's just not popular enough to get into community for it.
Yeah.
But I could see this one being a little more dead than other ones just because of how difficult the multiplayer would be.
Yeah. But anyway, so your final verdict is try it, right?
Yep, it's a try it.
Sounds good. Final game to talk about tonight is called Grim Legends 2, Song of the Dark Swan, developed and published by our friends at Artifacts Mundi. It released June 23rd on Xbox One for $9.99, so it should be out by the time you are hearing this. When a mysterious illness befalls the Queen of the Eagle Kingdom, a famous healer is summoned to Eagle Castle to examine her. The healer's quest takes a sudden turn when the infant prince vanishes under mysterious circumstances. The queen is accused of practicing dark magic and thrown into the prison tower. Will the healer be successful in saving the queen? Will she rescue the little prince from the clutches of dark magic? The fate of two kingdoms lies in the healer's hands. Because it's an Artifacts Mundi game, it's what we all know it's going to be. It's a hidden objects puzzle game, adventure game, where you show up to this castle and you think you're there just to examine the queen. And when you go to examine her, a big green cloud envelops her room and the child is stolen away. The queen is accused of practicing dark magic and is locked up, and it's your job to figure out what happened and save the day and save the child.
I find that funny, just because if you think if she's the queen, maybe she could just be like, you know what? It's allowed now. Deal with it.
Well, it's the king's mother who's thrown a shit fit about everything. I thought the story was really solid. Some fun twists and turns as you go through it. I thought the villain reveal, I kind of saw it coming, but
I'm not too surprised that you saw it coming, though. I don't think that they're really that hardcore on the surprise element.
True. The selection of puzzles, you're going to run into your normal hidden object puzzle games where you have to find, sometimes they'll have a list of various items that you need to find, like, here's a scene. Find a tarot card, 3 stars, a dragon scale, 3 lizards, weird shit like that. And then they have more focused ones where it's like, find 12 cogs or 6 springs and 6 of something else, or like 8 different flowers. So it's a nice mix, and it's not just the same every time of just trying to find weird shit all the time. So I thought it was nice that they switched that up a bit.
Can you do the Mahjong in this
one? There is no Mahjong in this game. I was just about to say that. So, Achievement Hunters, you do not need to play it twice through, once for Mahjong and once for non-Mahjong.
I guess that's kind of nice.
Although it does have the complete on expert achievement, as well as beat all the mini games without hints, or the hidden object games without hints. So the way I play the Artifacts games is I'll play it on casual, once through, all on my own, and then I'll do it again on expert, kind of with a guide by me, just so I could, you know, finish it on expert. And
I find something funny about the achievements you have. According to TA, the 2 you missed are story related, which makes no sense.
It's because the 2 story related ones I don't have are the side story, because Artifacts games, once you complete the main game, they usually have like a little bonus side
chapter. Oh, okay, story. So you haven't done the
I actually
sense.
Already completed the game, so TA just didn't update yet.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense. I was gonna say, yeah. I'm just so used to having pro membership on there that it updates it within like 10 minutes.
I thought the side story was a lot of fun. It's puzzle-wise and location-wise, it's more the same areas that you've been to, and nothing drastically different in terms of puzzles, but the story was really cute, where you're working with like nature spirits against a dragon that's like attacking them. It was really cool. My gripe with this game comes down to mainly the voice acting. Most of the voice acting is fairly solid or good enough. The children voice acting in this game drove me nuts.
I can understand that, just coming from playing other games with child voice actors that are just like, ah.
I think my biggest issue is I couldn't, like, I know they're supposed to be British kids, but they sounded like Jamaican British.
That's funny.
I don't know what it was. I thought the child voice acting was...
You want the cup really, of tea, man.
I know I talked with Eternal about this one, because she covers a lot of our Artifacts games, but she already covered it for her other site, so I was just chatting with her to get her opinion. She ranks it as one of her favorite Artifacts games, story-wise. I could definitely agree. I thought it was a great story, great puzzles. There weren't too many puzzles in the game that were just incredibly frustrating to beat. Some of them you had to sit and you had to think about it, but there wasn't stuff that was like, oh my god, fuck this puzzle, because I've run into those in the Artifacts games. Every now and then you'll run into one that's like, fuck this puzzle in every way.
Just gonna look at a guy.
Thankfully there was nothing too horrible in this game in terms of like the crazy difficult or the crazy random puzzles to go through. The hidden object ones were fairly simple to get through, not like too easy, but it was good. I thought it was good story, good puzzles. It's Artifacts. You know what you're getting into when you pick up an Artifacts game.
Yeah, that's true.
And I, you know, there's no way we're gonna break tradition yet, because this one is getting a buy it. I love the Artifacts games. I love just having a chill adventure puzzle game that you could kick back and play in like 3-4 hours and just...
I wonder if they'll ever make one that isn't a buy it.
I hope not. I really hope not.
I hope not either, but it's just, it's interesting.
They're just every time I see a new Artifacts game announced for Xbox or even on PlayStation, because they've been starting to bring them over there as well, I know that they're going to put out a game that's worth $10. And after, what is this, like almost a dozen now that they've released on Xbox?
Yeah, there's a lot of them though.
They're very similar in gameplay style. Like the stories are always different. The stories are usually really good. But the gameplay, it's simple enough to keep you wanting to keep going, but complex enough that you're not like, I'm just going to blaze through this and then, It's just really solid gameplay, and bring them on. I love the Artifacts games, and I hope we continue to cover them on the show, because Artifacts kicks ass, and... Yeah, buy it.
Yeah, according to this list I see, there's 10 of them now.
10. That's close to a dozen.
Yeah, that's a lot of Telltale. Or, fuck.
Telltale, really?
Artifacts, I don't know why I said Telltale.
How do you fuck that up?
Dude, they should do like a combination and do like Enigmatis, the Telltale story.
But yeah, overall, it's a really solid Artifacts game. I really enjoyed it, and it's another buy it. If you've enjoyed the other Artifacts games, you already know how good it's going to be. So yeah. Just grab it, sit down, set aside an afternoon, and enjoy it, because they're fucking awesome. So, yeah, good stuff.
Sorry about calling you Telltale. Although that's not an insult either, but still.
True. But anyway, that is it for this episode. Thanks everyone for hanging out and killing time with us, and thank you again to Steve-O for dropping by and chatting with us and getting all pervy and eating jerky during the show.
Yeah, such a professional.
Pretty much. As usual, I have no idea what music I'm going to play, so you're going to hear something. I don't even know why I address the music choices anymore, because I never know what I'm going to play. I might try finding some more stuff from Steve-O, since he's a musician. Or maybe I'll play some Overclocked University, because I know he was on that album. So, but yeah, that's it for tonight. CJ, any final words to end the show?
Runbow, confirmed for July, Game of Gold.
Was it confirmed?
Joe. No, according to Joe.
Oh, fuck, we could have talked about that.
Yeah, we could have, but you forgot.
Well, fuck it, I didn't stop the recording yet.
Well, this is a very long final word segment.
Pretty much. You and I were dicking around on TA and looking at the upcoming releases, and you mentioned Runbow is from 13 AM Games, which we're going to be covering that one on our next episode. The 3DS version just released, showed up for release on the 16th of July, which, you know, cool. Again, I'm excited the game's coming. The thing that tipped me off is that it's a Sunday. Games don't release on Sundays. And the fact that it's releasing on a Sunday and it's releasing on a 16th, the listing might be wrong. So clearly there could be an issue with it's a placeholder date that got messed up. But the last time I saw a date that had a strange release date like that was when Earthlock was listed for the 1st, and it was on like a Thursday. Because most games come out Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Fridays.
Well, even Thursdays aren't that surprising anymore. They used to be much more surprising than they are now.
Yeah, but at the time, it was unique to see something release on a Thursday when it was the 1st. And I saw that maybe a month before the game was supposed to come out. And I'm like, that's going to be a Games with Gold. It just feels like that's going to be a Games with Gold. And it was Games with Gold. And now that Runbow is showing up on TA as being a Sunday the 16th release, I think Runbow's going to be Games with Gold for July.
Funny that they're very two similar games that are back-to-back launching at Games with Gold, if that's the case. Speedrunners and Runbow are pretty similar. I was not very nice to Runbow in the review, but I did give it a denied, I believe.
I honestly don't remember. I know Chris Taylor is covering the 3DS version, and he's really enjoying it. He was raving about it so much that I actually ordered the physical off of Best Buy because I had a reward certificate to use.
Nice. So maybe I was just wrong, maybe it was the PC version.
You're wrong about everything, so...
Yeah, and so are you.
I am. I'm a pretty horrible person. But I guess we'll find out next week. I actually expected the Games with Gold stuff to be announced today, but maybe...
I kind of did, too, because they seem to have been doing that on Thursdays a lot.
Yeah, and next Thursday is going to be the 29th, so...
So that would be pretty late if they did that.
Who knows? Maybe they'll surprise us and announce it tomorrow or something. I know we've done a bunch of recordings on Thursdays, and then the next day, like, PlayStation will announce theirs. And be like, motherfucker, you couldn't do this yesterday.
On the bright side with Thursdays is that it's only Tuesdays and Thursdays for backwards compatibility. Not that that's mattered lately. There hasn't been anything since
I think it's been a month.
I think
it has been an entire month since we've seen a new backward compatible game brought to Xbox One, which hopefully they start again soon. I know they addressed it right after E3, like, you know, we took some time off with they had the massive backward compatibility sale, and then E3 was right afterward, so maybe they're just like, hey, let's take a break and we'll pick back up after
maybe E3. We'll be surprised with the Games with Gold if there's a new backwards compatible title too.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out. Time will tell all, but that is actually officially it for today. So, CJ, for real, give us some final words, and don't say Runbow because you're going to make us talk about more shit.
Fuck!
Sir Unicoctopus of Bum Diddles.